And as it's almost the top of the hour, I'd like to go ahead and introduce our presenters today. As always, Dr. Uchenna Uchendu, MD, Chief Officer of the Office of Health Equity at the VA Central Office in Washington, D.C. And today we also have Dr. Victoria Davey, Ph.D., MPH, who's Associate Chief Research and Development Officer for Epidemiology and Public Health at the Veterans Affairs Central Office in Washington, D.C. And as it's exactly 3 o'clock, Uche, can I turn things over to you?
Yes, thank you, Rob. Sure you can. I'm waiting for your screen to pop up to share my screen. And I believe I got it. And please confirm if you can see my screen.
Yes, looks great.
Thank you so much. Greetings, everyone. Thank you for joining us for yet another exciting session of the Focus on Health Equity and Action Cyber Seminar Series. As Rob mentioned, my name is Uchenna Uchendu, and I will kick off today's session for the first, I'll do the first leg of the relay race for today's presentation, and then I'll turn it over to Dr. Victoria Davey to give you the insights on two studies that are ongoing with about Vietnam veterans and their families. The next slide you see is giving you an idea of what we plan to cover during this session. We would like to have more time, so we anticipate the discussion will continue. But I'll give you a quick connection with the Secretary of the VA's priorities in relation to our session and the Health Equity Action Plan, which is the basis for this series. Then I will share some information about military eras and period of service to set the background with also data from the National Center for Veteran Analysis and Statistics in relation to today's topic. And then, you know, we pose the question, why Vietnam veterans? And I hope by the end of this session, you'll also be answering that for yourself. Dr. Davey will walk us through some historical perspective and research background on Vietnam War in relation to Vietnam veterans, and then delve into sharing some results and early work on the two studies, the VE Heroes, as well as the Vietnam Veteran Mortality Study. And we hope to hear from you also during the session and hopefully afterwards as well. The disclosure you see is from both of us. While we both work for the United States Department of Veterans Affairs, the opinions we will espouse today during this session will be our own and should not be construed as the official position of the Department of Veterans Affairs or the U.S. government. Additionally, the study that you will be hearing of the studies you'll be hearing about are still in progress, and so dissemination is not encouraged until the analyses are complete and the study investigators release those accordingly. This slide gives you the snapshot of the top priorities of the Secretary of the VA, creating greater choice for our veterans, modernizing our systems, maximizing efficiency, improving timeliness, and suicide prevention. I will circle back to them in a moment to connect these dots with the Health Equity Action Plan, VA's guiding document for achieving health equity among veterans. The Health Equity Action Plan snapshot is what you're seeing at this time. It is the reason behind the Focus on Health Equity and Action Cyber Seminar Series. This slide is usually a constant on this series, so if you've seen it before, I apologize, but today I intend to make the connection for you with today's session. We're using this session to create awareness on health disparities, and today's focus is Vietnam veterans, underscored by crucial partnerships, which include the Vietnam veterans and their families. VA is on the journey to be a leader in this area. One of the charges of the Office of Health Equity is to position VA as a leader in achieving health and healthcare and health equity in outcomes among vulnerable populations. The fact that the HERO study got the input of veterans and families in domains that include physical health, mental health, lifestyle, and health of their offspring attests and demonstrates accounting for social determinants of health and well-being, which is one of the areas you see touched on by the Health Equity Action Plan. It aligns with the health system and life experience aspects of the Health Equity Action Plan. The value of having the insight into the cultural context of populations cannot be overemphasized, and the Vietnam veterans' input in this ongoing study being taken proactively is wonderful. The last bullet on data research evaluation is also at play in the discussion today. Gathering data and doing research in subpopulations in order to inform policy and operations, subsequently tracking and monitoring, are also very, very imperative. As promised, I'm coming back to make the connection for you with the Secretary of the VA's priorities, which is our priorities. The question here is, how does health equity fit into the bigger agency priorities? One cross-cutting piece is assessing and adjusting accordingly for the impact of these priorities on vulnerable veteran populations, proactively applying the health equity lens, as we put it in our office and in our dialogue, a deeper dive with data and consistently collecting, reporting, tracking, and monitoring the implementation and progress of new projects, initiatives, policies, and so on, along the lines of geography, race, ethnicity, gender, sex, military, era, and period of service, which is the area we are focusing on today. So I wouldn't belabor these much further for you today, but I hope that that connection at least occurs and that we continue to keep these things in mind as we go through implementing our priorities at the VA. The next slide you're looking at is a graphic intended to contextualize military era period of service dating back to World War I, which was from April of 1917 to November of 1918. And then the next period of war was World War II, which would be the period from December of 1941 December of 1946. Then the Korean conflict from October of 1960 through October of 1954. And then the Vietnam era, which is our focus today, from February of 1961 through the May of 1975. Then the Gulf War period, and I'll explain further about the Gulf War period in a moment on the next slide. You notice that we have them separated, and I'll explain why in a moment. The Persian Gulf War of from August of 1990 to May of 1991, and then the post 9/11 period, characterized as Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Iraqi Freedom, and Operation New Dawn, from October of 2001 to present time. This slide was developed under a memorandum of understanding between the Office of Health Equity and the Women's Health Evaluation Initiative COIN in Palo Alto, in the course of work in which we reviewed data some of which I will share with you later, and I'll explain that background further at that time. The sources that informed the periods of war that you are seeing on this slide are shown, and at the bottom I won't go into them in detail, but also the Office of Health Equity website where this depiction is displayed has a full graphic, and you can download the whole thing there on our tools page. I want to make some notes that the periods between the wars are considered peacetime for the nature of this contextualization. And note that the Spanish-American War is not shown, and that was between April of 1898 through July of 1902. Also, the U.S. war eras are portrayed in yellow brackets, and you probably already figured that out. And then the distinction we made in OHE for the Gulf War period are portrayed in the gray brackets. The Gulf War, which we label as other, is the period for the start of the Persian Gulf War to the start of Operation Enduring Freedom, which was the period from August 2 of 1990 to October 6 of 2001. And then the other piece of the Gulf War, OEFYFOND, include the conflict beginning October 7 of 2001 and still ongoing as of the date this document was prepared, pressed in 2015, and we made an update in 2017 in February. I set that background to have this next discussion. These are some facts and opinions with regards to veteran population as a unique population. There's less than 2% of U.S. population in military service. About approximately 9 million of the estimated 22 million veterans alive use VA. Military service is unique. Experiences during military service is even more unique. And today, we are focusing on Vietnam veterans, but with the understanding that there are challenges and exposures that may vary by era or period of service, but it's not to the exclusion of all others. It's just that today's session is highlighting Vietnam veterans. Some health challenges may be more prevalent and are related to military era and period of service. Some of these studies will help us begin to answer those questions, and some have been answered previously. Veterans and non-veterans may be members of vulnerable groups, and the insert you see here is another slide that comes up quite a lot on Office of Health Equity discussions, because when we talk about vulnerabilities, we talk about them along those lines. And then military service and era add another layer of vulnerability. That was a campaign that Office of Health Equity championed shortly after we put together the Health Equity Action Plan, was to actually identify military era and period of service as vulnerability. And today's session will further underscore why that is necessary to make those separations. And then combination of any of these vulnerabilities is likely to increase the likelihood of health disparities or inequities. And people who are at an intersection that is belonging to more than one group, including their military exposure and military era period of service, it can accentuate a problem or diminish a problem. So it could be positive or negative, but unless we study, we would not know. And then with this next few slides, I want to do what I call a flashback to a cyber seminar we had in March of 2016. That was also the work between that our office had with the Women's Health Evaluation Initiative, MOU, I referred to earlier, that yielded that data. More details will be on that particular archive, which, thanks to Rob and team, is available to everyone. But I just want to highlight a few things from that session that are relevant to today's discussion. The data in that session included health profile of veterans based on fiscal year 2013 data analyzed by period of service, as you will see shortly. This slide, domain frequencies by peacetime or other period of service era among veteran VHA patients in fiscal year 13. I will focus on the section that impacts Vietnam veterans. The top three domains in yellow highlights the top three domains for the conditions with high frequencies are shown in yellow highlights without including others. The top five domains among post-Vietnam, pre-Gulf War veteran VHA patients in fiscal year 2013 were endocrine, metabolic, nutritional at 61.9%, other at 57.9%, musculoskeletal at 57.7%, cardiovascular at 55.3%, and mental health substance use disorder at 43.8%. The top domain among post-Korean War pre-Vietnam veterans in FY13 were cardiovascular, endocrine, metabolic, nutritional as one group, sense organs, and then musculoskeletal and other behind that. On the next slide, the title again here is Domain Frequencies by Wartime, the previous one you saw, peacetime, among veteran VHA patients in fiscal year 13. The top three domains in yellow are shown again in yellow highlights. Once again, focusing on Vietnam veterans, the top five domains among Vietnam-era veterans, VHA patients in fiscal year 13, were endocrine, metabolic, nutrition, nutritional at 74.7%, 5%, cardiovascular at 72.3%, musculoskeletal 51.5%, and other at 50.7%. Sense organ came in as a fifth with 48.9%. I want to also highlight a couple of points from cost of service by period of cost of care by period of service era. And that's what you see on this slide and the one after it. This first one is giving it to you, mean total cost by wartime era among veteran VHA patients in fiscal year 13. The Vietnam veterans are in the middle block, so it will be the third one from IDT start from the beginning or from the end. But in the middle block, it's focusing on Vietnam veterans. And the cost of care that's included is VHA outpatient cost in the blue, VHA inpatient cost in the red, T cost in green, and total cost culmination in purple. And the one thing that is clear as you look at it is the purple, if you look at the total cost, the Vietnam era is powering above all the others. And actually, the other ones tend to follow similar patterns. In this case, where the mean total cost by peacetime, other period of service, again, the pattern is similar in the immediate post-Vietnam pre-Gulf War, with the total cost being highest also in that group. And finally, from that flashback, I also wanted to pull out the show demographics just to underscore the intersection I mentioned earlier. The intersection could be by race, ethnicity, could be by gender and geography and so on, but here I'm just pulling out the piece on race, ethnicity. And this slide, you're looking at race, ethnicity by wartime era among veteran VHA patients in fiscal year 13. The Vietnam veterans are in the middle bar, again, representing various racial ethnic groups, white, native Hawaiian, other Pacific Islander, multi-race, Hispanic, Black, Asian, American Indian, Alaska Native, and minimal section unknown. And in FY 2013, among Vietnam era veteran VHA patients, numbering about 2,325,333, 0.6% were American Indian Alaska Native, 0.5% were Asian, 13.7% were Black or African American, 4.3% were Hispanic, 0.6% were multi-race, and 0.6% were Native Hawaiian or the Pacific Islander, 77.5% were white, and 2.4% were could not be placed in any of the groups and so were categorized as unknown in this particular work. And the trend is similar here, so I will not read the numbers to you, but this is completing the loop to show you peacetime, similar data, but this time in peacetime. And then that was the last on that flashback, but then looking forward, this is data from the National Center for Analysis and National Center for Veteran Analysis and Statistics with a projection that was done in starting from 2015 through 2045. The source is the vet population data from that office within the VA as of the 2016 publication. And that's what you see here. The red is wartime and the blue is peacetime veterans. So leaving veterans with a projection by a National Center for Analysis and Statistics at the VA. Projection of leaving veterans from 2015 to 2014, overall decline is anticipated for this projection with a shift or slight increase in peacetime population as you approach 2045. On the next slide, from the same center, this time broken down by periods of service, I want to focus your attention to Vietnam veterans, and that will be the second bar from the bottom, the lighter of the two blue if you go from the bottom up. And actually, I just realized, forgot I could use my cursor. That's where that is referring to. The Vietnam veterans get older, as you can see, there's an anticipated decline in overall number as the years, you know, progress as well. But at least for now, we still have a lot of them among us, thankfully, and some of these studies are trying to get to the bottom of issues that impact Vietnam veterans. And so with that, I share this background resource for your homework. The first bullet refers to the graphic I tried to explain earlier about the timeline and period of service document, so you can download that, including the notes and related materials from our site. It's on our two-stage. And the rest of the publications referenced here would be part of your homework on this topic. And so with that, I believe that brings me to our very first poll question. For this poll question, we're continuing the open-ended approach that we started trying out on these series a few months ago. We've been getting some great input. So today's question, and don't worry if you can't answer it immediately, but you have the rest of the session to type your response in the question box. Please note that you're typing in the question box, so because that will make it easier for us to capture. So the poll is, what we're asking you to make input on is as follows. What questions would you like to see answered about health disparities experienced by Vietnam War theater veterans as compared to their era non-theater military peers or civilians? So again, and if you receive slides, you have this question. I know it's a mouthful, but if you receive the slides before the session, you can also look at slide number 24 if you need to remind yourself what we're asking before you type your response in the question box. We will come back to some of the inputs towards the end. And at this point, that's my cue to turn it over to Dr. Davey to take us through the next leg of this relay.
Dr. Davey, I just gave you the pop-up. Audience members, if you don't know where the question pane is.
25. I got it. It's okay.
The question box is, there's a gray horizontal bar in the GoToWebinar dashboard. If you click on that, it'll open up and you can type your answers to Uche's first question. Back to you, Dr. Davey.
Thank you. And thank you, Dr. Ushendu, for setting up my presentation on our two studies of the Vietnam era. And I always have to start out with a little bit of history of the military operation because I think it's so important to how we frame our care and policymaking for these veterans. I realize I have the great advantage of having the Ken Burns and Lynn Novak 10 series of Vietnam program on, and your history has been refreshed. So let me just speak to a couple of points here. One is that although the U.S. was involved with Vietnam after World War II, our fears of communist expansion in the U.S. Caused increasing military advisor deployment in order to train South Vietnamese troops and stabilize Vietnam. And of note, the tactical military use of herbicides began in 1961. By 1965, we saw ground troop escalation and the U.S. ground military became engaged. The war increased in intensity till the early 70s. In 1971, herbicide use ended. In 1973, the U.S. withdrew under Nixon's Peace with Honor. And in 1975, Saigon fell to North Vietnam. We had the deaths and wounded that we know about, and we certainly acknowledge the deaths and wounded that were suffered by the peoples of North and South Vietnam then. We recognize in VA that the signature injuries of the war, though, were PTSD and the health effects of herbicides. So how were these soldiers' experiences of the Vietnam War unique, and how were they set up for health disparities from these? Well, one was the military draft, which we've seen before, but was considered quite unfair at the time and in retrospect. In addition, individual soldiers were rotated in and out of theater rather than units. And that's that soldiers up for lack of cohesiveness and the group bonding that's so important in the military. The combatants were relatively youthful. They experienced guerrilla warfare, which was not common to our training then. Missions were unclear. And, of course, there was a lack of civilian support that grew over the decade of the war. Drug use and drug addiction became quite common, especially in the ending years of the war. There was definitely racism leading to violence, reported by many Vietnam soldiers. And their homecomings ranged from disregard to abject hostility, which was different than prior and, of course, current treatment of veterans. And you can certainly argue that they received poor treatment by VA, and access to health care for this group of veterans, research and benefits were debated by VA and the Department of Defense and Congress for a decade and more after the war before these things became accessible. Just want to refer to some past large VA-funded studies of Vietnam veterans. Of course, I'm starting off with the CDC's Vietnam Experience Study. These were initially assigned to VA, but were turned over to CDC when it was thought that CDC would be more independent in doing the study. The Office of Research and Development funded the National Vietnam Veterans Readjustment Study, which was done in 1984 to 1988 and looked at the mental health adjustment post-war of Vietnam veterans. Various cohorts have been studied by the Environmental Epidemiology Program of now from Patient Care Services. They've been doing these studies since 1990 and continue on. One of the primary cohorts that they have followed is the Army Chemical Corps, who sprayed herbicides on the ground. The Vietnam Twin Studies were funded by Office of Research and Development circa 1990, and these 7,000-odd twin pairs are studied to this day. Initially, lots of studies about Vietnam health effects, and now they're used for studies of male aging. The National Vietnam Veterans Longitudinal Study followed up on the readjustment study cohort 20-odd years later, 30-odd years later. And then Health Youth was a unique study of female Vietnam veterans that is producing manuscripts today. So I get this question, why do we study Vietnam veterans now? And my answer is we have lots of questions about their health, as do veterans, their families, researchers, and clinicians. So our research focuses on two points. These veterans are now average age 70. Is their overall health different from veterans who did not serve in theater and from civilian members of the U.S. public? And our second question for the second study is, are rates, causes, and patterns of mortality of Vietnam War theater veterans different from their non-theater era veterans? So VE HEROES, Vietnam Era Health Retrospective Observational Study, is a study comparing Vietnam theater veterans to Vietnam era veterans to members of the U.S. public. It's an epidemiologic study. It's a survey, and I will tell you more about it in the next few slides. The first definition of what a Vietnam theater veteran or in-country veteran is. These veterans served in North or South Vietnam, Cambodia, or Laos from February 28th, sorry for the typo, 1961 to May 7th, 1975. They are from a sample frame from VA's U.S. Vets database. This is a database actually of the National Center for Veterans Analysis and Statistics. that Dr. Shendu's already referred to, and I'll tell more about the sampling from that in a later slide. Now, moving on to our definition of era veterans, they served in the U.S. military in the same time frame. They served other than in-country Vietnam, Cambodia, or Laos. And we'll talk about the sampling frame again in a later slide. The U.S.-Vietnam generation, also referred to as the U.S. public, non-military, in later slides, never served in the military, are age matched to Vietnam theater veterans, and were identified from a two-stage sample of 300,000 U.S. households. Our primary aims were to measure the current overall health, lifestyle characteristics, and aging-related conditions among U.S. Vietnam War theater veterans and compare them to non-theater and members of the U.S. public. To examine and compare overall health, lifestyle, and prevalence of key health conditions. And these key health conditions are conditions of concern that we found in the literature, we heard from veterans, and we heard from clinicians. We also asked about the presumptively service-connected conditions, about testing treatment of hepatitis C, and about the neurologic conditions that you see there that were recommended in the National Academies of Medicine, Science, and Engineering's last review of Vietnam veterans. We validate some conditions by medical record review. We had two exploratory aims, which are, I think, very important and very timely in looking at this population. One was to determine the feasibility of identifying a sample of Blue Water Navy veterans. Blue Water Navy veterans are those Navy veterans who served only in the deep coastal waters off of shore of Vietnam. And they were exposed to toxicants by herbicide sprays and other sprays carried on prevailing winds offshore, possibly through the desalination processes that brought water, drinking water and other water to their ships, as well as contact from clothing and belongings of in-country soldiers who came on board ships. And they were also subjected to the stresses of battle. Bombardment was a major offensive mechanism during the war, and there were certainly targets for attack and for bringing on board casualties as well. So we hope to describe their overall health, lifestyle characteristics, and aging-related conditions. We also wanted to determine whether Vietnam veterans believe their children and grandchildren were harmed by their service in the military. So we asked them about birth defects and childhood conditions that their children and grandchildren had and have, and whether they would choose to be recontacted for additional research. And this is something that hasn't been asked and determined in a large sample, so we're happy to be able to do this in this study. So the study design, a retrospective cohort study done by a survey, the exposure is military service in theater in Vietnam, and the outcomes are the health and health conditions that we talked about already. It was a mailed pen and paper survey of a random scientifically constructed sample of Vietnam theater and era veterans from the 9.9 million veterans that are contained in the U.S. FETS database who had service between February 28, 1961 and May 7, 1975. So this is a large sample frame, includes all veterans, whether they receive care from VA or not. And then for the U.S. household, we used a commercial sample of addresses of U.S. households. In the first stage, asked them if they were born before 1958, someone was born before 1958 in the household and was interested in doing the study. In the second stage, we determined their eligibility and their ability to be matched to a Vietnam veteran, and then invited those eligible into the survey. The survey, of course, asks about past and current health and illnesses, lifestyle exposures, and functioning, with some conditions verified by medical records. Our response rate goals was 40% for the veteran groups, 60% for the U.S. public, with an ultimate goal of 6,000 individual respondents per group. And I want to stop here for a minute to talk about how we got to the survey questions that we used. We certainly used past research and past studies. We used recommendations of the National Academy of Science, Engineering, and Medicine from their Veterans in Agent Orange series. But most importantly, I think, as Dr. Ushendu already alluded, we used a steering committee that was composed of survey research experts, of course, but we have Vietnam veterans, including Blue Water Navy veterans, on our steering committee. And they really told us how to be culturally competent with our Vietnam era. They told us what questions to ask and how to ask them. They helped us communicate that the study was being offered and to help our response rate. And they've advised us on analyses and on priority of analyses. We also had clinicians who provide care for Vietnam veterans offering us the same kinds of advice. So these are the domains of the survey questions, and I'm not going to dwell on this slide, but you see that it's fairly comprehensive. And these are our response rates. We reached our goal of 6,000 completes for the veterans arms, and we're very close to the goal for the U.S. arm. So for those U.S. public individuals who we invited into the survey because they were eligible and were matched to a Vietnam veteran, we sent those to 6,885, and a gratifyingly high percentage, 67% of them responded. And then for U.S. veterans, we wanted 40%. We sent a survey to 44,611 veterans, and we got eligible completed questionnaires back from almost 19,000. And gratifyingly, there were over 6,700 in-country or theater veterans, and double what we wanted in terms of Vietnam-era veterans, which was just very gratifying. This slide on statistical techniques and weighting, et cetera, I'm not going to dwell on it for time. I will pass, but I wanted you to have it for your reference. We did weight for age, sex, and where appropriate for race and military branch of service. First demographic slide, this is just to show you that our Vietnam veterans, 100% of them served in the theater of war, and none of our era veterans. Of note, however, 44% of Vietnam theater veterans served elsewhere around the world in where you might consider interesting places to serve, while 94% of era veterans did. So Vietnam theater veterans may have been at some disadvantage in terms of joining the military and seeing the world. By military branch, most Vietnam theater veterans who responded were from the Army, and the distribution was more even for the era veteran respondents. In terms of age, it's important to note that our Vietnam veteran respondents were older than either the era or the non-veterans. So 55.9% of the Vietnam theater veterans were 66 to 70 years old, while 37% of the era veterans and only 22% of the non-veterans. And this attests to the need to age adjust. And you see here in the weighted columns that we've done the age adjusting and made them and distributed the ages more equally. In terms of male-female responses, we were just about on target proportionately for the numbers of males compared to females who actually served in theater by report. You see, our numbers of in-theater females are very small. We expected that, and we really aren't going to be making conclusions about female Vietnam veterans in this study. And then in terms of race, we had an 87.7% of our respondents were white, 7.4% were black. And this response rate is not proportional probably to service in Vietnam. From a number of studies, it is likely that the percentage of African Americans who served in theater was more like 11%. And they disproportionately suffered casualties and deaths in war as compared to white veterans. In terms of how we measured health, we used some standard instruments like the SF-8, the Kessler-6, the PCPTSD, the Audit-C, among others. But we also had specific questions developed on hepatitis, on the neurologic conditions that we wanted to look at, and on specific health conditions, cancer, circulatory system diseases, mental health conditions, as well as the presumptively service-connected conditions. And now to give you some results, this is a slide of the responses on the SF-8, short form 8, which measures physical and mental health in 8 questions. The average score for the 1998 U.S. population is 50. You see here that physical health is in the blue bars, mental health in the red bars. Vietnam veterans are measured first, and you see their overall scores for both physical and mental health are lower than the scores for era veterans, which are lower than the scores for non-veterans. I want to point out that we saw and are seeing this gradient of effect in other analyses of summary scores as well as individual conditions in this study, and these are statistically significant differences comparing Vietnam theater to era and Vietnam theater to non-veterans. In terms of health conditions, I've listed 2 here, Parkinson's disease and diabetes mellitus type 2. These are presumptively service-connected. There's quite a bit of study on these and evidence that they are more common in Vietnam theater veterans, and I just want to reiterate that we saw that here. 2.1% of Vietnam veterans reported they have Parkinson's disease versus 1.2% of era and 1.1% of non-veterans. The odds ratios are significant in both comparisons, Vietnam to era and Vietnam theater to non-veterans. Same is true for diabetes. 29.4% of Vietnam veterans reported having a diagnosis of diabetes type 2, whereas only 19% of non-veterans do. And again, odds ratio over 1 that is statistically significant. In terms of the Kessler 6, which measures psychologic distress, a score over 13 is thought to be is an indicator of psychologic distress. And you see that to over 10% of Vietnam theater veterans reported or came in having a score of over 13 on the Kessler 6 as compared to 4.5% of era and only 1.8% of non-veterans, again, statistically significant both comparisons. So again, we're seeing the theme of a more affected or sicker Vietnam theater population. In terms of children's health, we asked about childhood health in these 9 categories and asked not only whether they had one or more children affected this way, but whether they thought these conditions were attributable to their military service or in the case of the U.S. public non-veterans, whether they were affected by their occupations. And the results here show that the percentage of respondents who reported one or more children having these conditions divided by the conditions, with the blue bars being the theater veterans, the red being the air, and the green being the U.S. public. The most common conditions reported were attention deficit disorders, learning disabilities, and congenital defects. And in every case, Vietnam theater veterans reported their children having more of these conditions, or more respondents reported their children having these conditions. The one that's closest is childhood cancers, which is almost equal across the three groups. And of note, about 2 to 3% of U.S. births are reported to have a child with a congenital condition of some kind. So turning to the Blue Water Navy, remembering that we are just describing, we're not comparing this population, I want to say a couple of things. There is no roster of Blue Water Navy veterans anywhere. We debated with veterans about how to get at a sample of Blue Water Navy veterans, and we decided the best way to do this was to ask in the questionnaire with a definition of Blue Water Navy, whether one was a Blue Water Navy only. We did some back-of-the-envelope calculating and thought we might get 200 respondents from Blue Water Navy. We ended up getting 987, which is a great response, I think in part because the Vietnam era Navy veterans publicized the presence of the survey. It's that if you get this in the mail, please do it. They did it. So they are older. Most of them are 66 to 75 years old, overwhelmingly male and overwhelmingly white. In terms of their short form 8 results, their FS8 results, recall that the U.S. population average is 50. Their physical summary measure mean was 44.6 with a standard deviation of 10. And their mental summary measure was 51.3 with a standard deviation of 9, just a little better than the U.S. average, while the physical measure is a little worse. So to wrap up BE Heroes, I want to talk about some limitations that this kind of study has. First of all, it's a self-reported survey, and self-report is prone to biases of various kinds, including recall bias, over-reporting bias, as well as social desirability bias. And so we have this method. It was what we could use, and this is what we did, and it provides us with good information, but it's obviously not perfect and not whatever you would consider the gold standard, but it is good information. We ameliorate the biases by the fact that we took a random sample from the large and best, what we think is the absolute best database of the Vietnam era, random sample, large sample. It is true that some health conditions that Vietnam veterans are concerned about and that we're concerned about may be just too rare, particularly cancers, to allow comparisons or to draw any conclusions about differences between these groups. And, of course, we had a large percent of the sample decline to participate. We got some telephone calls in white mail or mail with survey packets about this, including the questions were too sensitive, the survey was too long, this is too little, too late. How can I trust VA with this information? And we expected that. But again, we powered on and planned on a 40% sample and got 45%. So we overcome some of the concern about the percentage of sample that participated. And finally, we know that epidemiologic studies determine association and not causation. So VE Hero's strengths, and its strengths in measuring health disparities of this very interesting and deserving group of veterans. We have the first large national study of overall health of Vietnam veterans in 30 years. Other studies have focused on post-traumatic conditions, on mental health. This is an overall physical health study. Vietnam veterans and family members serving on our steering committee certainly helped with our cultural competency in doing this survey, as I already talked about, in terms of advising us on what to ask and how to ask it and how to communicate the study. This is the first opportunity to examine health disparities that may exist in Blue Water Navy Vietnam veterans. And it's an exploratory examination of the health and health of children and grandchildren. It should help us understand Vietnam veterans' health at age 70 and should provide data for care, policy, and further research. And now we're going to turn to poll question number 2.
Vicki, if you could just advance one more slide, please. I'm going to leave the slide up while I read this because I had to make some abbreviations due to character restrictions. Choice number one, question, a percentage of Vietnam veterans have died. How would this mortality affect our understanding of the health of the cohort? Option number one, prior mortality may skew our measurement of lifetime prevalence of certain health conditions. Option number two, understanding prior mortality improves our understanding of lifelong health effects of Vietnam theater service. Option number three, mortality data will not contribute to our understanding of lifetime health of Vietnam veterans. I'm going to go ahead and launch the poll now. You'll see some abbreviations, but please, if you could, just choose one, two, or three. The poll is up. And this is a quick audience there. Answers are flooding in. We're about 50% at this point. And we're about leveled off around 65, so I'm going to go ahead and close the poll up to 70 now and share the results. And we see that 40% of respondents chose option number one, prior mortality may skew the measures of lifetime prevalence of certain conditions. 56% chose option number two, that understanding prior mortality improves understanding of lifelong health effects. And only 4% chose mortality data will not contribute to understanding. I'm turning it back over to you. I have to say it's 3:53 now. We have 7 minutes left. We can go a little bit late, but I don't think there's going to be time for Q&A. And audience members, if you do need to leave right at 4 o'clock, please do fill out that survey. We count on that to continue to bring high-quality cyber seminars to you. Back to you, Dr. Davies.
Thank you, and thank you for your responses to those questions. And I just have a few slides on the Vietnam Veterans Mortality Study, and I hope to finish before 4 o'clock. The objective of the mortality study is to determine rates, causes, and patterns of mortality of Vietnam War theater veterans from 1979 through 2014 and determine if there are differences when compared to non-theater era veterans. Our methods are to take the base population from U.S. vets, the same population who served between February 61 and May of 75. Because U.S. Vets doesn't have a good indicator for in-theater service, we will use the Defense Manpower Data Center's Vietnam file for in-theater service. The era population will be the base minus the Vietnam file. And then we'll determine who is deceased from the multiple sources of death data that we have in VA. And the causes of death we will get from the National Death Index from CDC. The timeline slide, I'm not going to go over where we were. Where we are now is that we have a protocol that's been reviewed by our steering committee and a scientific review committee. We're in the process of making their recommended changes to the protocol before we pass it on for review by the IRB. I hope we have in the next beginning of the next calendar year, beginning analyses and reporting. A limitation of this mortality study is that death certificates are not always complete and accurate in reporting causes of death, and we don't have the ability to examine medical records here, but we will do the best we can. Our strengths and the ways this can contribute to our understanding of disparities is that we are going to use the entire population of Vietnam theater and era veterans. There will be no sampling error. We're going to look at the entire population and deaths of the entire population. This will contribute to our understanding of disparities by deaths and causes of death. The last broad VA study of Vietnam veteran mortality was from a sample in 2006. So this decade of additional data and from the entire population will be informative. We have a great steering committee for this study that includes some veterans and family members of veterans, children of Vietnam veterans. And they have definitely guided questions and approaches. And of course, we use use these data to inform policy and care. This is our study team for VE Heroes for the mortality study. We had a couple of people, Dennis Friedman from the New Jersey War-Related Illness and Injury Study Center, and George Fitzell from the Office of Research and Development. These studies are program office funded from the Epidemiology Program, Post-Deployment Health Services of the Office of Patient Care Services. And then conclusions on both studies. We believe that health differences exist between Vietnam theater era and non-veterans at the age of 70, and that unique features of the Vietnam War set up potential disparities, including the draft and individual rotation of military service members, substance abuse, and use. We believe that VA was not the provider of choice initially, and policies and practice to take care of this cohort of veterans required legislation at a really long time to take place. Societal conditions and pressures that these veterans return to also set them up for disparities after military discharge. So we hope to use these data to inform us more about disparities. And thank you very much for listening.
Oh, great. Thank you, Dr. Davey. I know we have taken more than we usually do with regards to time, but I think that everyone attending will agree that this is necessary information. These sessions usually are, you know, made to be an hour, and it's hard to fit something sometimes. So we hope that even if you haven't typed in your questions, you can reach out based on the information you have on the screen with both our email addresses. And I don't know, Rob, if you have anything you can share with us in a minute or so with regards to any comments or questions that would have come in during the session. And we do follow up afterwards, so if for whatever reason you're not able to ask your questions, please do reach out. And if you did and you can't stay on to hear the answers, these sessions are recorded, so you will be able to access that later on and listen.
Well, there was one question appropriate that came in. It wasn't In response to your questions before, this person asks, did you look at significant differences between ERA veterans and U.S. controls? What do you think contributes to the differences? It's 359 now, but we can go over a few minutes if it's okay with you.
We're willing to stay on.
Thank you.
Vicky, I believe the question was for you.
Yes, thank you for that question, and we can do that. We have not done that yet in the VE HERO study. We're looking to get a sense of the data, but you're right, that could be interesting.
At this time, that's really all except for responses.
Vicky, can you advance to the last slide so that we can make closing comments? Yeah, and I don't know if Dr. Davey has some comments to make, Rob, before you round up.
That sounds great. Go ahead.
No real closing comments. I hope that you will send me or Ushe questions that you have. I'm happy to talk about the study to anyone who's willing to listen. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Davey. I really appreciate you taking the time to share this with us. It's great work that you're doing. I know that you've gotten a lot of people excited already, not just the veterans themselves, but those who care for them and the VA in general and any other stakeholders. So we anticipate and we are going to be waiting for the results, final results of the study. In the spirit of the session, I am also going to remind people that our next one will be on the 16th of November. Usually we're the last Thursday of the month, but we're deferring this time because of the holiday season. So we will have on the 16th of November from 3 to 4 p.m. The announcements may have already started going out, but there will be more to follow. So please register and join us for those sessions. And as always, the Office of Health Equity is glad to bring this to you as part of our effort to champion reduction of health and healthcare disparities and galvanize efforts and enhance synergy across the VA to spur action toward achieving health equity for all veterans. Sign up for our listserv. The link is there. And if you haven't, you're missing, because there's over 30,500 people currently on our listserv and growing. So there must be a reason they're there, and you might be missing something if you haven't signed up. So thank you, Rob, also. I know we're running over a little bit, but this engagement is usually great for us, and it sets the stage for more work and future sessions.
Wonderful. Audience members, if you didn't get a chance to have your question answered, please do email Dr. Uchendu or Dr. Davey. And I would like to repeat what Dr. Uchendu just said. The next FHEA cyber seminar will be on November 16th, not towards the end of the month. So we'll see you then. Thank you very much, doctors. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.